A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Yuma Daf Yud Tes, Yuma 19, but we're going to start from the facing page. So we're on page 36 in Yuma, Yud Ches Amid Beis 18b at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page. Masru Zikne Bezdin Lezikne Kahuna. The elders of Bezdin gave the Kohen Gadol over to the elders of the Kahuna for a very critical message and session. Ve'alu be'saftinus, they brought him up to the place where the Ketores was made. Ve'ishbi'uhu ve'niftiru ve'holchu lahem. And they made him swear, and then they left. But there was a very important oath, which went as follows. Amru lo, they told him. Ishi Kohen Gadol, our master the Kohen Gadol, Ona Shluchei Bezdin, Ve'ata Shluchenu Shliach Bezdin, you are going into the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur to represent the Jewish people, and we're making you make an oath based on our understanding of this oath. Mashpiyim Anu Alecha B'misha Shikin Shmar B'bayis Hazeh, an oath by the name of the one who dwells in this place, in Beis HaMikdash, Shalot Sheshane Dovor Mikoma Shamanu Lach, that you won't change anything from what we told you. Hu Porosh Uboche Vein Porshin Uvochen, he would pull out of that meeting and cry, and they would pull out, and they would cry. But they had to go through with this, they had to make him make an oath that he's not going to change anything. What were they worried about? So that's the Gemara illustrates, that they were worried that he's going to put the Ketores, which was supposed to be put, once he's in front of the Aron, then you put the Ketores on the fire pan with the coals. And they were worried that as a tzeduki, or as a closet tzeduki, he might go ahead and put the Ketores on the coals before he enters into the Kodesh Kadashim, because he's of the opinion, as a tzeduki, that he's supposed to go in with the smoke already going. And the reality is, based on the pasuk, V'nasan haketores alo esh lefnei Hashem, that you should put the ketores on the fire in front of Hashem, that you have to first be in front of Hashem, and then you put the ketores on the fire in front of Hashem. And this was a major contentious issue. And what's very interesting is, as we find in different places, even though there was contention and argument and disagreement, but if you made a person make an oath, then the oath was significant enough that he would obey the oath by the word of honor, by the power of an oath, by the punishment that they understood that you can't go against such a thing, he would listen to what they told him he has to do. Let's turn to Yutes Amid Beis 19b, pagination 38 on the fourth line. And I think you have to turn the page. Fourth line.
Thanks.
And let's see an actual story that really hit home that they needed to address this problem. It also illustrates what they had to navigate in the Beis HaMikdash, like we said yesterday, that sometimes they had to have people buy the position who were mostly worthy, just so that they could control it with worthy people, because otherwise it would be a total sellout. So, Hu Porish Ubochen, on the fourth line, Vein Porshin Ubochen, they walked out of the meeting, cried, and he did the same. Hu Porish Ubochen Shechashtu Tzeduki. He cried because they had basically accused him of being a tzeduki. That's why he has to make the oath. Otherwise, by virtue of me being an observant Jew, I won't change anything. Vein Porshin Ubochen, and they pulled out crying. Damar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kalachoshed B'ksherim Loke B'gufo. Anybody who accuses a kosher person, accuses a person improperly, gets punished bodily. We find, Rashi tells us, by Moshe, that he accused the Jewish people of not being ready to listen, that he was the Redeemer to get them out of Mitzrayim, by accusing them that they were not believers, so he ends up putting his hand in his cloak and it comes out like Mitzaras. So you see that a person gets punished in a very bodily way for accusing somebody else of something that they're not at fault for. So they cried. How does crying help? So it would seem that sometimes in life you got to do something that you don't want to do and you shouldn't do and everything else, but to make sure that you have a sincere concern on your mind. So you have to take care of it. But if you do it with reluctance, then that'll protect you. They say from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that on the Medrash that Yaakov hid Dinah from Esav, and then Hashem said, you didn't want Esav to marry Dinah, so she ends up being assaulted in Shechem. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, what's so bad? I mean, he didn't want Esav to get her. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz learns that when he put Dinah in the box to hide her, he nailed in the nails to secure her, he nailed them in with a smile. He had outwitted Esav. He was proud of it. And that was his undoing. It should have been with total reluctance. Sometimes you got to do a mitzvah, but you do it with reluctance, and that's what protects you. I once was at a chasna, and there was a certain person collecting tzedakah who was really antagonizing the guests. And it came to the point where they had to ask him to leave. But I saw that a certain very immature person was the one asking him to leave, and he did it like with a laugh, and he was proud of himself that he threw him out. And that's not the way. If you have to do the mitzvah to escort the person, because he's being mazik the simcha, but you have to do it with reluctance. You have to do it. And that's what they did. They cried. They had to. What should they do? They had to accuse him, so to speak. And they didn't accuse him straight. They just tell him, make an oath that you'll do it right. But whatever was implied, they did it with crying, and that presumably would protect them that they weren't doing it maliciously or out of turn. V'chokach lama, the Gemara says, what was the whole issue? Shalo yisakim mibachutz v'yachnis, that he shouldn't put the k'toras on outside the Kodesh Kadashim and then bring it in. K'derach sh'atzdukim osim, the way that tzdukim do it. We don't want him deviating and doing it wrong. Tanu Rabbanan, we in fact learned, Maisa b'tzduki echad, there was a story with a certain tzduki, shehiskim mibachutz v'hichnis, that he was kohen gadol, and he put the k'toras on outside and then walked in, and no one would know because there's no one there watching him. When he came out, he was joyous. He had gotten away with it. Finally, tzedukim win. Pagabo Aviv, his father encountered him. Amalo, and he told him, Bini, my son, afapi shetzedukim anu, even though we are tzedukim, he says, Misyarim anu min aprushim, we're afraid of the prushim. In other words, don't be simcha gedayla. What did he mean? So one approach is, don't be public about it, because the masses of people are traditional Jews. So we're trying to do our thing, but basically people believe in the Mesorah, and you could get yourself into trouble if you let anybody know. So whatever you did, do it quietly. The other approach is that we are really afraid of the Prushim. We know that they have something, and we don't intentionally go against them, and we certainly don't be joyous when we go against them, because we know that they have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're God-fearing people, and we're nervous from them. You know, it's like, you may not like this type of what he represents, but don't cross him, because he has an in. So in their time, this father understood. Amalo, so the son answered him, Kol yom ha'yisi mitzdar al ha'mikra hazeh, my whole life I was pained on this pasuk. You know, those religious Jews, they keep doing the service a different way. Ki ba'anane raya lakaporis, I should come in with the cloud. Amarti masa yava liyode ve'akayimenu, when can I finally implement it the right way? You'll remember this wording was used by Rabbi Akiva also when he says he wants to die al kiddush Hashem, that is ready b'chol nafshecha. You imagine what bothers a person all his life? He's worried that the religious Jews are doing it right. Now that it came to my hands, I shouldn't do it right. So he argued with his father. His father wasn't happy with it. He was wiser. Amru, they say, lo haya yamim muatim, it was not many days, achemes, this Kohen Gadol died, v'huta ba'ashpa, he was hurled into a garbage dump, v'hayu talam yotzam echotmo, and they saw worms coming from his nostrils, and the punishment, according to Rashi, is that the nose was the first thing to come into the Kodesh Kadoshim improperly, doing it wrong. And Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva say because it was the Chotmo, the nose, that inhaled the Ketores improperly. He was doing it wrong and he was benefiting improperly. For Yesh Omrim, others say that what happened to this guy was Bitziyasa Nigaf. As soon as he got out of the Kodesh Kadoshim, he got zapped. Tetani Reb Chiya came in kol nishma ba'azara. There was a sound, something spooky. Sheba Malach, an angel came v'chavto al panav and slammed him on his face. V'nichnasu echav ha-kohanim, and his brothers the kohanim rushed in. Umatzu kekaf regel egel ben kesefav, and they found the imprint of a calf between his shoulders on his face. Shenemar, and based on the pasuk, that the foot of a malach looks like that. And there's one foot. That's, by the way, on a more pleasant note, why Shmona Esrei we keep our feet together. Malachim are to serve Hashem, to praise Hashem, so at the moment when we're addressing Hashem, we put our feet together. But in any case, this is what they had to grapple with in the second Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, we find that even though the tzedukim occasionally tried to pull this off, but Hashem did intervene, and they got punished in a very graphic way. Yeshikoach, thank you for joining.